This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. You know, the leap from one location to two is never easy. And if you've done it, you know what I mean. But what if you're also going to Vision 2022 just days before the second location was to open? Hey, Carm here, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. I'm in the Vision 2022 studio, and we're asking how Justin Barrett prepared his existing employees while hiring new ones for his second location. How did he know it was the right time? Hey, thanks to our partner Napa for providing you this episode. You know, how does Napa support your auto care center through national marketing? Well, Napa will build upon the already successful Know How for All campaign and promote auto care services for the Do It For Me customer with support through the sales driver programs, optimized targeted media in local markets, and improving channels. Now, this gives you a repair facility and online presence on Napa Online, generating millions of views per month. Now, if you're interested in partnering with Napa Auto Care and capitalizing on the Napa Know How for All national marketing campaign, contact your servicing Napa Auto Parts store. Hey, back in the Vision 2022 studios, always a pleasure by having Milwaukee have us here in right in the edge of the expo. Isn't this great, Justin? I mean, right here where all the action is?
Oh, it's great. A lot of good vendors out there.
It's been a phenomenal show. It's done a lot of great interviews. Justin Barrett is here from Barrett Automotive in Cornelia, Georgia. Hey, man.
Good to be here, Carl.
So here's the topic of our show. Second branch. Easy peasy. Everyone should do it.
Oh, yeah, nothing to it.
I happen to know that you, when I talked to you a little earlier today, you took this big, deep, long sigh or breath.
Nothing goes to plan. So you just kind of got to figure it out as you're going. The shop got shut down for 5 weeks when we did a full remodel. We thought we had certain key members hired, got ghosted, some people backed out. Contractors didn't come through like they were supposed to. It's been a challenge, but I wouldn't change it. We're scheduled to open Monday morning, March the 7th.
No.
Yes.
I mean, wait a minute. You're getting home Sunday, and you're opening the new store Monday?
Yes.
And you still came and brought how many people to Vision?
We brought 7 to Vision. 4 stayed behind to keep a skeleton crew running. And then we land in Atlanta, 10:30 Sunday night.
You might as well stay up just all night. Just go right to the shop. Stay up. Work Monday morning.
Yeah, don't go to bed. Go there. Open it up. Have coffee.
Well, I'm pretty confident with the crew that we got going. We have one of our longtime service advisors going over to open the store and to train the new members, make sure everything's operating efficiently. So I'm not going to be there first thing Monday morning. I'm going to come in, you know, probably around 9:30. They have a full schedule already. They've done really good on calling the original customer base. They've got the schedule filled pretty much for the whole week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, you're really not starting from scratch, but yes, you are. So you bought an existing business and closed it for how many weeks?
Yeah, we bought it was a small mom and pop, shut it down so we could do our remodel, rebranded, put in a lot of new stuff, got the place really cleaned up, looking sharp. We've done some advertising to let everyone know, hey, this is what we're going to be opening up as. The new advisor, one of his first tasks once he went through all of our phone training and all this stuff, he sat down. It was a 26-page customer roll, and he got to call everyone on the customer roll, introduce himself, let everyone know what we were going to be doing, when we were going to be opening up, and he was able to book a lot of appointments that way.
Jumping into your second branch, was it because Carl did it, or was it because AJ did it, or was it because it's really part of your master plan and vision?
It's part of the master plan to, you know, to grow, but, you know, I get bored pretty easy, and I felt like our first store was operating really smooth. They really don't need me day to day.
And why can't I duplicate what I just did?
Yes.
And how long you've been in your original shop?
Well, we've been in business 12 years. We've been in the shop that we're currently at now 4.5 years.
Business for 12. Now you're taking your second store.
Yes.
You probably could have done it earlier if you wanted, yes? Or was it just the right perfect time to do this?
I don't think we could have done it earlier because we, for about 5 or 6 years, we stayed a one-man show. Focused really on the tech side, okay. Not growing on the business side, not really growing in leadership and hiring people and delegating. we kind of had to get all that figured out. I had to grow as a person, as a leader, before we could ever make this step. Because, you know, and you've heard everyone say, don't try to start your second store till your first one can do without you. And I didn't really understand what that meant. And I still really don't, because we're not operational in a second store yet. But it makes sense when you hear people say that, because of how involved I had to be just to get all the steps in place. And it took, you know, I'm a little slower than most. I'm a little envious of, you know, some of the shop owners we have in the industry, of how quickly they move and how quickly they adapt. I'm a little slower. So the time it took to create all the back end processes, to create all the systems where I felt comfortable enough to go number two, took me a little while. It's been really eye opening.
There's nothing wrong with slow. Slow and sure and confident. Yeah. Part of the reason that I'm sure you're where you're at to have confidence in store two was that you implemented the EOS system.
Yeah, without EOS, I don't think I could have got there by myself without the EOS framework.
Justin's been on a lot of shows that we've done on not only just him and I together, but that EOS panel that we did. Mm-hmm. We did two shows together, and thank you so much for being on them. So much to learn about, you know, how to implement EOS in the episodes we did with Barry Barrett, but no relation.
That we know.
Oh, you never know, right? You should do the DNA thing.
Okay. Well, my wife says we act just alike.
EOS, I think, and as I heard you on that episode, you had an awful lot of confidence going into your 2 day. Mm-hmm. And when I knew that you were doing store two, I could see and hear in your face and in the words you said that it was the right time, and you're doing it right. You said earlier, if I could leave this one, then I can open up another store. It has to run without me. Are you going to go to bed every night saying, I wasn't at store two today. Oh, my God, I wonder if they're okay. I mean, I know you can look at the numbers, but are you a person that micromanages, you have to see people's faces, or have you grown to the point where you trust your people?
I think I've grown to the point where I trust them. I wouldn't consider myself a micromanager.
Okay.
And I don't think my team would consider me a micromanager. I'm pretty good. I feel like I am anyway. Maybe I need to get some of their feedback. But I feel like I'm pretty good about setting expectation, giving them the training they need, and then allowing them to do their job.
First of all, did you buy it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Do you own the current shop you're in?
Me and the bank are partners, yes.
Well, that's the right answer. Owning the land is just probably the best advice you probably ever had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we go further with adding more shops, it's important for me to own the real estate.
Yeah.
You know, that's part of the grand plan.
Hey, Carm here. Now, coming up, find out how Justin incorporated the previous shop owner into the new store. Are you a repair shop owner? Do you find yourself struggling with any of the following? Uncertainty about the future and competition. Are you spending too much time managing chaos and struggling with new employees? Do you lack time to invest in learning best practices, or there's no time to spend on effective marketing? How do your finances look? Are you reactive rather than proactive? Do you know where you should be, when to grow, and when to shrink? If any of those situations describe where you are today, well, you are finally in the right place. Repair Shop of Tomorrow is Napa Auto Care's newest endorsed partner. They are helping shops all over the nation run more profitable automotive repair shops, and they help by utilizing proven business best practices, marketing, and coaching to leverage Napa programs to drive quality, car count, sales, and profits. RSOT will look at productivity, efficiencies, effective labor rate, average hours per car, labor profit percent, measure and manage labor, and how you can create net profit. Team up with the coaches to create systems, operations, and procedures using a business flowchart to help you reach your goals. RSOT will help measure and manage the results to help each business succeed. Now, best of all, it's not do-it-yourself. It's all done for you. Their goal is to help service professionals do what they do best, fix cars, and build relationships at the counter and in the community. RSOT will take the other minutia off your plate. The Repair Shop of Tomorrow offers a tier-based program to not only generate more business today, but to transform your shop into a top-level shop of tomorrow. RSOT can teach you how to make your shop profitable, and they can teach you how to recruit and how to make more labor dollars for your shop. Interested in Repair Shop of Tomorrow? Well, call 440-545-1230. That's 440-545-1230 for a free 20-minute no-obligation consultation, or contact your servicing Napa Auto Parts store. Let's go back to the people side. You have seven people here, and you have four back. Obviously, the people that are here and the people that are on your payroll are there because of Shop 2. How early, before Monday, this Monday that you're opening, how early did you start recruiting for the new shop? How long ago?
It was about September.
September.
Mm-hmm.
And here we're doing this interview early March here at Vision 2022. That's a long time ago. And so how long have people been on your payroll that you've been paying? I mean, here it is. It's an investment. Mm-hmm. You can't afford the extra help, but you know that you can't afford not to have them. Learning the systems, fitting into the culture of the company so that they could walk over, drive over, and boom, there's the culture and there's Barrett too.
Yeah. We made our first hire for store number two in October.
Smart.
Maybe.
Okay.
Because we didn't really have a location picked out then, but I knew that was the grand plan.
Wow, you were really leaning over your skis.
Yes. You know, I was looking for the second location. I didn't have one picked out. We didn't have anything under contract. I just knew that we were going to be heading that way. So I wanted to go ahead and get someone in place. I didn't know if it was going to take us 6 months to get the second location, 12 months. I wasn't sure, but I wanted to go ahead. I felt like we had the volume of repairs. We had an extra bay. So I thought, hey, we can go ahead and get another technician in here. We can go ahead and make sure they're trained correctly. We can go ahead and make sure they fit what we're looking for. So we went ahead and pulled the trigger in October.
Excellent. What kind of money do you have set aside for marketing?
I think we've spent so far about $15,000 in marketing for the new store, and we have about another $10,000 to go. So the store we bought has a good word-of-mouth reputation, so I don't feel like we're going to need to do a ton. I could be completely wrong about that because this is our first time going through it, and I'm sure I'm going to make a ton of mistakes. But I kind of feel like with where we've spent, you know, we should be off to a good start.
Was it a difficult acquisition? Think back to, did you approach the person? Did they approach you? Was the person prepared to sell? Were the financials right?
No.
I don't know if you heard that, but he said no. And
they approached us because word had gotten out that Barrett's was looking to expand. They were looking to buy out. So we actually had a lot of shop owners calling and, you know, pitching to me. And I would go check their place out, and it just, you know, it wasn't in the right area. The building was not what I wanted. It was going to take too much to refurbish it. The financials weren't squared away. And then this one, you know, I went and looked at the building. It was in decent shape. It needed some maintenance. The owner wasn't profitable enough to maintain the building correctly, so the air conditioning in the office wasn't working. The hot water heater wasn't working. Parking lot needed to be resealed and strapped. A bunch of little things that should have been done, you know, a long time ago. And then once we got into the financials, I could see where the mistakes were being made. They had the car count. They were doing a great job repairing the vehicles, diagnosing the vehicles. They were making really good notes on the invoices. They were doing a lot of things right. But as the owner said, look, I'm not a business guy. I don't have a clue what I'm doing on the business end. And I never really learned it. And I said, well, you know, at least you're honest and you understand that. And he understood that his business itself wasn't very valuable.
What was the age of the owner?
61.
Okay. Been in business a long time?
Yep. Been in business at this location for 15 years.
15 years and never learned the business side.
No, never learned the business side.
Were you happy with I don't want to know any numbers, but were you happy with the deal you got?
Yes, we purchased pretty much the real estate.
Okay,
so,
all right.
We purchased the real estate, got him to throw in the phone number, web presence, and customer base.
Did you pay anything for that?
No.
Okay, so
just worked it in the deal.
Okay, worked it. So whatever was in the deal, if there was any goodwill, it was in the property?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So was he very disappointed when you told him, well, come here, I hear your money bags, I want $1 million, right? He probably said that, and maybe in jest or something.
No, he was very realistic about it, and this was something that I hadn't experienced with the other places we looked at. Everybody, you know, thought their place was worth the fortune, and it just wasn't. And he was very realistic about what he had. So it was actually a pretty easy process. And we had a lot of long conversations. We had a lot of, you know, we got to know each other pretty well. And we worked out a deal where he's going to stay on as an employee. He wasn't set up financially enough to retire anyway, so he's going to have to find work somewhere.
And what's he going to do?
He's going to be our shop foreman.
Wow.
So he's not going to have any dealings with the pricing the work or the financial side.
Right, right.
Someone else will be over that. He's going to be over production and quality.
I find it amazing that you took the shot in starting to hire people mm-hmm. and you didn't have a place. Did you feel any pressure, though, as you kept hiring people? You know, wow, if I don't do something to generate the revenue to pay for them and to reach the goal of store two, would I really have to let these people go?
A little bit, because we were seeing, you know, we were taking a hit in our labor margin. Our net profit wasn't what we were used to seeing. But we've done a really good job over the last, you know, two and a half years getting ourselves in a good cash position. So we could, so we had reserves, we had the investments ready, we knew how long we could go.
I see you were considering your cash reserves, those emergency reserves, if you needed them. That's yeah. smart, really smart. Justin is here. He's opening shop two in 2 days, and people say he doesn't have a clue until he gets this thing open and tries to get it to get it up and running. Because so many people that I've ever talked to, the guys I've interviewed, they're in store three and four, and I says, so where was that real critical sweet, not sweet spot, but sour spot? And they go, you know, store two, store three. We thought we had one and two going great. Then we did three, and we realized that it was very a little bit more difficult to scale one, two, and third. And then when we got to four, man, we were smoking. So I want you to come back. We'll do a virtual interview.
Okay.
You know, nine months into store two, and tell me if every ounce of planning that you did, every hire that you made, every dime you has paid off.
Well, I know we're going to be in for some surprises, and I've went ahead and prepared the staff pretty well. I think, look.
What kind?
Yeah, well, I'm like, hey, look, you know, it's probably not going to be as smooth as we're planning. You know, be prepared for some hiccups. Be prepared to solve some problems without coming and asking me. And, you know, one of the concerns that some of the staff had, hey, you know, we got seven people in Kansas City, and we're opening on Monday. We're not going to have time to debrief shop one. Because everyone there is going to be at our new location. Well, most everyone is going to be at our new location. So the service advisors that are here, they're going to have to debrief on what's coming in, what was left over from last week. So they're going to have to figure that out. And they was like, hey, can we just push it one more week? That way we have that time. I was like, no, we set our start date as March the 7th. Everything is not ready. There were some repairs that we didn't get completed. There was some equipment that hasn't showed up. But I said, hey, we're going to have to figure it out. We're going to have to open March the 7th. That's the date we set.
I'm sure. I mean, you're a really positive, forward-thinking guy. And every time people talk about vision and they say, we never miss a beat, we come back, the team rallies. And I know the rally point for you is, oh, we're opening up a new store on Monday, is even more pressure. There'll be bumps in the road, but I think you'll look back in 2 weeks and says, man, we did it. And you anticipated the challenge. Everyone was so aware of it, and they just met the call.
Yeah.
I'll bet you that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, we've all had tough times. Stuff happens. We always figure it out. And, you know, through this whole process of getting, you know, store number two, I'm a believer. I'm a man of faith. And as kind of all this stuff has presented itself, it's like, you know, this just feels right. And I just know that whatever problems come up, we'll figure it out.
Being here with seven members opening Monday, mm-hmm. and yet you didn't skip a beat of maybe we should skip vision this year, right?
No.
It was not. So you are here with your crew, half the crew, over half, and you're opening Monday, and you didn't want to skip vision at all.
No, not at all.
It's that important.
Yeah, it's very important. So not only are we developing, you know, key members in the organization, but this is a, you know, we keep saying company culture, you know, this is a way that I give back to, you know, the guys that come to work every day. They work hard. You know, we've been going out eating nice restaurants, doing fun things. It's just time to relax. You know, the automotive business is very stressful. It's very tough. This is just my way to say thank you.
great culture building. By the way, daughter Tracy's here with me in the studio, and occasionally she says she's going to chime in, Justin. Isn't that cool? Love that. I am thrilled that we were able to, you know, slice out, get out of a class and come in here and tell us the your story. A second shop's easy peasy, and of course we know that it isn't, and there's all kinds of planning. And
I'm super motivated right now because I just left Bob Cooper's
Wasn't that great?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was you in there?
No. I interviewed Bob yesterday.
Oh, man.
He gave me kind of an overview.
Yeah, I'm just pumped.
Yeah, I know. Bob's a great guy. Yeah, he no doubt he's a professional speaker, right?
Yes.
Isn't he good?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's really good.
I just can't wait to get back and hit it head on.
Okay, well, then I'm going to let you go. Hey, thanks, Justin Barrett. Barrett's Automotive, Cornelia, Georgia, on the precipice of store 2. Thanks, man. Yeah,
thank you, Carl.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.